As I said, we're looking tonight at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. If I didn't read the whole of Proverbs 28, my apologies, the feeling I may have possibly missed out a portion. But the verse that we're looking at tonight is verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Well, here we see the difference between the natural life and the spiritual life. The natural man will trust in his own heart because he knows no better. Now, just pause there. It's getting very warm in here. Can I suggest that you turn off that heater, that switch? Please, thank you very much. Notice that side where Chris Ann is heading. I don't know whether we could also turn the white box off. And if it gets cold again, please just indicate to Owen and he'll be back. Thank you. So we see the difference between a natural life and a spiritual life. The natural man will trust in his own heart because he knows no better. And where we put our trust will determine what sort of life we live, as we know from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, which we read just now. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And these two verses do, don't they, represent to us two ways to live. First, trusting in the Lord. Second, trusting in one's own deceitful heart. One leads to survival in this parable, the other leads to destruction. One leads, in fact, to eternal life, the other to eternal destruction. Well, the purpose of this evening is to warn us all about the dangers of trusting our own heart, because it applies to believers as much as unbelievers. Just because we have become Christians does not mean that our wicked hearts do not try and entice us out of the way. Indeed, in the book of James, we're told how a man falls into sin. It's in James chapter 1. Let's turn there very briefly. Just one moment. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That lust has its root in the human heart, doesn't it? That danger applies to Christians as well as unbelievers. Unbelievers are in a state of sin, aren't they? Believers can be brought back into that state as well. On the face of it, you may think that this diagnosis of the human heart is harsh. But, like so many things, we need to unpack it. The truth, this truth, is declared by Solomon, and he learnt by bitter experience that this was the case. I remember my own father telling me not to repeat his mistakes in life. I think he felt he'd changed his jobs too many times in his life, although I think he was being harsh on himself. I think circumstances dictated the course that he took. Nevertheless, he did not want me to repeat his mistakes. And I'm sure, actually, his words had an impact on some of the decisions I took in my life. Well, the same was true for Solomon. His mistakes are writ large for all to see. We see it in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 8. See, he loved many strange women. The daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, and Hittites. So his heart took him astray. It's not stated that it was his heart, but plainly it was. That's where the love for these women came from. Then in verse 4, we see that his heart having enticed him to take these women, then these women drew him away even further. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And he started going after these false gods. Verse 5, Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. But it goes on. It goes from bad to worse, as it always does when we trust in our own hearts. Well, marrying foreign women was forbidden in Scripture. We find that in Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 3. Verse 3, neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughter, thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Those warnings are echoed elsewhere in Scripture. And indeed, we find in Esther and the end of Nehemiah how the tragedy of having to split families up when during their Babylonian captivity they had taken foreign wives. We might think that having to split up families is something the Lord will never want. There is an example of how unlawful marriages had to end. They could not continue in them. And I leave that and suggest that if that happens today, it is better not to be in sin than to continue in sin and have to face the judgment of God if you are in an unlawful marriage. They want to go further than that. But it's hard to be a Christian, and when our hearts take us away, it becomes more and more painful to put things right again. It may not be in that area, it may be in other areas. But this really is the warning of these verses we're looking at. You see, Solomon began his reign well, and you'll remember how he prayed for wisdom. We find that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the Lord was pleased with that request, because he'd not asked for a long life. He'd not asked for riches for himself, and he hadn't asked for the lives of his enemies, for his enemies to be killed. But he asked for understanding to discern judgment, and so the Lord gave him an understanding heart, so that there was none like anyone before him, and none like him before him. And he also gave the things that he hadn't asked for, riches and honor. So he got these things. And he showed his wisdom with those two women who came to him, both claiming to be the mother of the same baby. And how was he, in the days when there was no DNA and no way of distinguishing the the two mothers. What did he do? Well, he got a sword and threatened to cut the baby in half, causing the true mother to say, give the baby to the other woman, do that rather than kill it. And of course, revealed who the true mother was. And the other mother had said, no, kill the baby. So he was given great wisdom, so much so that the Queen of Sheba came to visit him because of his wisdom. And it says that in 1 Kings 10, verse 1 to 5, verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels at their spices, and very much gold and precious stones. Verse 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which she told her not. And verse 4, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, which he went up unto the house of the Lord, with which he, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She couldn't believe the wisdom and the honour that God had given him. Well, this was true of Solomon's dealings in his affairs of state and anything concerning others. But when it came to the affairs of his heart, he acted in precisely the opposite way towards the way he behaved to others. And we see that in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, how he gave himself to pleasures, his own heart. We read here, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour, and this was my portion of all my labour. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labour that I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He realised that giving in to his heart's desires actually was just futile.